You have your Bibles open to Ephesians, if you will, please, chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, I'll read just one verse here in just a few moments. And I want you to look with me at verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Our theme is more love in 24. Last Sunday on Staff Recognition Day, I had asked all of our staff to tell you why they love the Lord, why they love Benson Grove, and why they love the ministry God put them in. And then on last Sunday evening, I felt impressed of the Lord to give opportunity for our church folk to do that. And I was blessed, and some watched on the internet, and they responded, and they were blessed as well. I'm thankful. But the greatest love without any comparison is the love of our Lord for us. I can't explain it in human terms. How much is that love worth? How much is the worth of His love? What is the depth of His love? What is the extent of His love? There's no way to explain it. God is love, John said in 1 John. He is love. But He's also a God of holiness and righteousness. And in Sunday school hour, Brother Barry right now has been dealing with Revelation 17 and 18 and the wrath of Almighty God. People are afraid of the devil and afraid of the tribulation period. I hope you know your Bible well enough to know the vials and the bowls and the wrath poured out during the tribulation period are primarily the wrath of Almighty God, from whom all the kings and princes of the earth fled from the Lamb to try to hide from Him because of the wrath of God. You may experience His love, and it's my desire and burden that this morning in this building and in the internet audience, you would come to know something of the love of God, not only just in head knowledge, but in heart knowledge, and you'll feel it and experience the result of that love. But most assuredly, if you do not experience the love of God now, you will without doubt experience the wrath of God in days to come, and then for all eternity in hell, without measure, without any reserve. All the wrath of Almighty God will be poured out on you in eternal judgment, and there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth forever and ever, tormented in a flame in a place called hell. You must experience the love of God, not church membership, not baptism, but to know Him. And I want to preach this morning on love worth dying for. And just a little bit, Jim will play a song along that line. But look at this one verse this morning in chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. I'm not preaching on husbands or wives. Watch this. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. He loved us so much, He gave His life for us. Amazing, the verses in the Bible that talk about the love of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God the Father loved us before the foundation of the world. And He loved us so much, He gave His Son. But Jesus Christ loved us so much, He was willing to come and to die for us. In the book of John, chapter 13, verse 1, in our earthly life of the Lord, as He was approaching death, the Bible says this about Him. He loved them even until the end. He loved His disciples in the physical realm until the end of His earthly life. But in eternity, He loves them still, and He loves us still. If you look through the Bible said again in John 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Here we see the love of the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated in this one verse where it says that He loved the church and He died for it. His love would have been amazing if He'd just been willing to become a man. He was clothed in a human body, born in a virgin's womb. And the God of this universe, all-knowing, all-powerful, eternal God, who never knew sin, who never knew thirst, who never knew tiredness, who never knew hunger, clothed Himself in a human body and came and lived among us as a human being. He was tempted in all points like as we are. And if He loved us enough to do that, That would be amazing love. But it goes beyond that. If he'd loved us enough to come and to give his life, if he'd come into this world and been willing to love us enough to feed us our every meal, every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of light. He makes it rain on the just and the unjust. He's called the whole human race to be fed. He feeds the birds. He feeds the animals. But he feeds man. If he'd have loved us enough just to provide our daily bread, that would be amazing love. And he's done that. Every time you've taken any nourishment into your body, any refreshing water into your body, that is a gift of a holy God. And through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything comes through him from the Father. That would be amazing love if he loved us enough to feed us, if he loved us enough to clothe us, if he loved us enough to give us a home and give us a family. That would be amazing love. The fact that I have a place to live, and I think about folk who don't experience that, and I have a family, and I thank God for my family. Thank God for my wife. That would be enough if he just blessed me physically and financially and everything that he has. That would be amazing love that he's done that, and he did that for me. If he had just loved us enough to heal us, and he's done that over and over again for you. Pray for Brother Donnie Tippett this morning. Melissa said he was sick. He cooked all day yesterday to get ready for us last night, but he's sick today. Donnie only has one lung, and that lung is damaged because of cancer treatments and everything else, but he's sick this morning. But the reason he came out and worked all day and was hot and exhausted is because he loved you. And God loved us enough, and Jesus loved us enough to heal our bodies over and over again. And that's amazing love that he would do that, to think about him healing us and all he's done for us, to watch over us and to care for us. He said, cast all your cares on me. I care for you. If he loved me enough just to care about every little need, people die every day because they think nobody cares. Tragically, there are people today who will take their life because nobody cares. David cried out one time, I looked on the right hand and on the left side. I looked in front, behind, and no man cared for my soul. When we were in Valdosta, Georgia, one IEMS man came in to me and said, Preacher, I went this morning to a suicide down in a motel. It says a lady, we don't even know who she was or where she came from. The FBI and everybody's investigating, they'll determine all that. But all I know that when I got there, she'd pulled the trigger, laying in the bed, and the walls were splattered. And on the nightstand was a little note that I saw personally, and it said this, nobody cares. Nobody cares. If Jesus had loved us enough just to care about us, I mean, he who causes the sun to rise and set the tide to go in and out and feed all the birds and all the animals, he who takes care of all and hears the prayers of people around the world, for him to care about me, that the very hairs of my head are all numbered, that's amazing love. I could never even fathom that kind of love, that he loved me enough to care about me, oh, to comfort me. I was talking this morning with a dear sister back here, and she was telling me about that she was married. She and her husband were married on December the 19th, just like me and Regina, 1964, just like us. And ironically, her first daughter, she named Regina. And we talked about that. But her daughter died, named Regina. Our first daughter, named Christy, died. And my dear friend, if it had not been for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God, you're a good brother. If it had not been for that, my dear friend, I'd have never made it. Regina would have never made it if it had not been for the Lord comforting us. He's the only one who can calm troubled seas. He's the one who can, only one who can heal a broken heart. The Lord Jesus Christ, if he'd love me enough just to care for me, just to comfort me, that'd be enough. But his love is far past that. And matter of fact, everything else that's come is a tributary out of this love worth dying for. Because you see, the Bible tells us that He came for one intent, purpose. He loved the church and He gave Himself for it. He died for it. I note in the first place this morning, I want you to notice the motive of this love worth dying for. He loved us. That's the only thing about it. I remember seeing Regina for the first time. It was at school, and she was getting out of a car. It could have been one of her many boyfriends in days gone by. I don't recall who it was, but I remember seeing her. I didn't know her, never had met her, but I saw her get out of the car. And I was kind of like that little bunny rabbit in that Disney movie, Twittipated. Y'all laughing? Some of you know what I'm talking about. There's something about her that just got in my heart, and I loved her. And we it's unique. We won't go into all the dating process of me being like Forrest Gump, not knowing how to do things. But anyhow, we did date. But I loved her. And from the time we started dating, I anticipated joy. I was motivated because I loved her, but I was expecting joy. I felt like someday we'd be married. I always wanted to be married to her. And God blessed us to do that. I always expected that we'd have children, and God's blessed us with children. In other words, when I came to love her and set my love on her, all I could see was good things down the road for me and her. Joy. We've had some bad times. You don't get married looking forward to bad times. You get married looking forward to good time. What's the motive of His coming? Was He expecting to have joyous times with His disciples or with us? What was He looking at when He set His love on us? The Bible said He loved us and gave His life for us. His motivation in loving us was that He could die for us. He came into this world to live and to die. He said in the Word of God that He did not come to minister, but to be ministered to, but to minister and to give His life a ransom. He entered into this life, not hearing chapel bells or birds singing or beautiful flowers, but seeing a cross on a hill outside Jerusalem and knowing that that's where His love for her would take Him. That's where His love would take Him. His motive for coming was that He could go and die. He looked, Bible said, and in Isaiah 53, He gave His life a ransom. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, yet He opened not His mouth. And the Bible said He'll see the travail of His soul and be satisfied. He came into this love relationship with me and with you with His eye toward Calvary. That's where He's heading. That's where He was going to. It would not mean just temporal blessings. It would not mean just happy days for me and you, but it would mean a happy eternity for us. He came to live and to die and to give His life a ransom that we might have everlasting life. He came to die. He loved us. His love for us was worth dying for. He knew that the only way we could ever be with Him forever was for Him to die. That's why He came. His love was worth dying for. We pledge our love when we get married in sickness and health, in poverty and wealth, and all our worldly goods with Thee I share. But He came for one motive, that was to die. He came to give His life a ransom. He loved us enough to have the beard pulled from His face, to have His side pierced, to have Himself beat with a rod, to be beat with a cat of nine tails. He loved us that much. His love for us was worth all of that. love worth dying for. He loved us so much. Oh, it'd be easy to say I love you if I thought it was going to be sunshine and roses and happiness. But if my love for you would cost me my life and my only motive for coming was that I might die for you, I couldn't love you like that. But God, the Lord Jesus Christ, loved you like that. That was His motive. His love was worth dying for us. But oh, I noticed the mystery of that love worth dying for. And that is this, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I could imagine if we had been good, if we'd been sinless, and if we had been only deceived and caught in a trap, and if in heart we meant well, but we were dead in trespasses and sin. We were wicked. We didn't care a thing about God. And yet Jesus Christ loved us while we were unlovely, while we were ungodly, while we hated Him. Here, my dear friend, is the mystery of that love, that He could set His love on us. When all we deserved was to be in hell for all eternity and hadn't been a good Christian even since I got saved. It is a mystery to me how He could love me. John Newton wrote, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. But oh, we were a wretch." Here's the mystery, that He'd set His love on us anyhow. You pick out the most wicked, vile woman you know. Her body's marked with sin, sores all over her body, and the flesh falling from her skin from meth labs and everything else, and hair stringing, just hollow eyes and everything. And to think that the Son of Glory would clothe Himself in human flesh for the one intent purpose of dying and suffering on a cross for that person. You pick out the most awful, vile man you could ever imagine in this world and think that He would give Himself to die on that cross. Love worth dying for. It's amazing. It is a mystery to me about He could love us so. How could He ever do that? I read you just now a verse that said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he give his life for his friend." But here's the mystery of this love worth dying for. He didn't die for friends. We were, in fact, alienated from Him. We were the enemies of God when He died for us. A mystery that's only understood in eternity future for me and you. Even now that I'm saved and know somewhat of the Bible, it's still a mystery to me. How could He love me? How could He love me being wicked as I am, as I have been? I can hardly understand it. We were dead in trespasses and sin, none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All our righteousness was filthy rags. In the eyes of a holy, righteous God, He saw us all as lepers, with our righteousness as filthy rags. Our spiritual being decaying and rotting off the very bones of our flesh because we were sinners. And yet Jesus loved us. He set His love on us. Amazing. It is a mystery that He loved us so much. But here's the marvel of it. Miss Savannah, would you come and get a mic and be ready to sing? Here's the marvel of this love worth dying for. Not only was He willing to come, if He in His sovereign knowledge and sovereign wisdom somehow could disassociate Himself from our sin, if He somehow or another could disassociate Himself from the curse of the cross and the agony and pain and descending into hell itself and leading captivity to captive, being alienated from the Father and crying, "I thirst," if He somehow could have done that and forgiven us of all of our sin, that would have been amazing. That would have been a wonderful thing. But there was no way to do it. The wages of sin is death. And here is the marvel that not only would He love us, and not only would He forgive all of our sin, not only would He be able to give us a new life, but in order for Him to do that, He had to give His life for us. That's the marvel of love worth dying for, His life for ours. He died so we could live. He became poor so we could become rich. He was alienated from the Father so we could forever be called a son of God. His life for ours. Hallelujah. I could understand this marvel if I had lived a better life since I've been saved. I could understand this life if somehow or another, when I trusted Christ, I'd live shoulders above anybody else. I'd demonstrate more love, more power. If I'd lived more holy, had more holy thoughts. But He saved me knowing I'd be what I am. And Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He also testified, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I am what I am by the grace of God. I live never yet less, not I, but Christ liveth in me, His life for mine. That's a marvel to me. One of these days we will be perfect. One of these days we will be without spot and without blemish. But my dear friend, He gave His life for our life. But oh, my dear friend, not only the mystery of that love worth dying for, the motive of it, not only the marvel of the love worth dying for, but the majesty of it. Oh, I can't explain it. I wish I could. It's like the depths of the sea. We've only touched that even with all of modern technology. There's an awful big ocean out there that we know very little about. We know very little about the grace of God, the mercy of God, and infinitely less about the love of God, how love worth dying for could die for me. The majesty of it is there's none like it. There's nothing to compare it to. How can you ever explain the love of God? If the ocean were an inkwell and every quill, every stalk a quill, we could write for all eternity across the sky and never write the love of God. No way to explain this love worth dying for. That when He came clothed in a human flesh, He was headed straight to Calvary. Everything else was incidental. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to give His life a ransom. But the majesty of it is this. It is revealed in transformed lives. Oh, we are not yet perfect, but we are so much different than we could have been. Oh, for the grace of God that we've experienced. The drunkard now sober, the broken home now put back together, the harlot now cleansed and restored and made right. Put a song in our heart, even praise to our God. Oh, this love worth dying for. Miracles repeated day in and day out around the world when men and women, boys and girls come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That love worth dying for. He looked down through eternity, the Bible said, He saw the travail of His soul. That's the process of a woman giving birth. And the love that He had for us, and He came heading to Calvary, He knew that that death would bring forth life down the road. And for every little boy, who's every little girl, and say in Vacation Bible School, Judgment House, on the ball field, anywhere else, in heaven there's a hallelujah ringing. Thank God for what He did in loving us. The majesty of it. The millions of songs that's been written about the love of God. Some we've sung today. Brad, the Holy Ghost of God led him to pick out two wonderful songs. But all the songs we've sung about it here on the earth. But one of these days in heaven, for all eternity, it shall be the eternal subject of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. My dear friend, love worth dying for is what He gave us. And I thank God for it. He loved you so much, He died for you while you were yet a sinner. And He wants to save you, wants to give you everlasting life. But you must respond to that. Somewhere along the line, I asked Regina to marry me, and she said yes. The tragic thing about that, on our 20th anniversary, I went and bought a ring. I rehearsed. I was going to do it all over again properly. And when I asked her, she didn't answer me nothing. She waited a while and made me right nervous. And finally she said she would, 25th anniversary, I guess it was, but we renew our vows. My good friend Monroe Sasser came and did the wedding. We had a whole blown out wedding when it was in Reedsville on our anniversary. And I told her, I said, Monroe, I was afraid I'd give her that ring and she didn't say yes. He said she had to marry you. You already had all them young'uns. So. But he loved us with an everlasting love. And we'll sing about it for all eternity. And it's love worth dying for. I hope you'll trust him. If you don't trust him, you have to experience his wrath. And for as far to the right and to heaven is his love, so far to the depths of hell is his wrath. His fury, he is a consuming fire. You'll be in torment for day and night, forever and ever, in a place called hell, if you don't receive his love today and be saved and trust Christ. For those of you who are saved, our prayer is that we would love him more because of his love that was worth dying for.